You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
Calls for a plan B by the group of academics, who posit that the economic harm Aotearoa will cause is worse than loss of life, has gained some traction. Mary Margaret asked Andrew Little this week about the notion that declaring Rahui was an overreaction. They also discussed this week's tertiary package announcement, and Mary Margaret questioned the minister about why students are the only group whose COVID-19 assistance has come in the form of accumulating more debt.
There's a group calling for a more balanced response to COVID-19, and they say international data shows that Aotearoa is now unnecessary and, quote, even more harmful than the problem we're trying to solve. What's your response to the notion that the economic impact is worse than loss of life?
Yeah, there is this. I mean, I see some of the commentary which basically says that it's okay if some people die as a result of this, and actually what they're really saying, it's okay if old people die because they're going to die anyway. It's a pretty hideous approach to this. The reality is this is an incredibly contagious virus. And actually, it's affecting, in terms of people making people sick, it's affecting more young people than it is older people. But the impact on older people is way worse, and that's why we're seeing so many deaths there. I don't accept what they're saying. I think they're very selective about what they do. I think that article that I saw yesterday, you know, 2 weeks ago, they were pointing to Sweden as the model. Now, the incidence of COVID-19 in Sweden has taken off. They don't look at Sweden anymore. We saw it with Singapore was the model. Now it's sort of taking off in Singapore again. So the reality is this is a fast-moving, highly contagious, very infectious virus that if we don't control it and seek to eliminate it, it will affect the economy. It'll just be a stop-start economy. We'll be going in and out of different levels, and that'll give no certainty to anybody. So actually, the best economic message is let's do this properly, which is exactly the approach that we're taking.
Mm. So Cabinet will decide on Monday if lockdown will be lifted after 4 weeks or not. Can we expect this Plan B rhetoric to have a bearing on the decision?
Yeah, you know, it is around, and it has been around for a while. There's some people who've said, you know, do we have to put so many restrictions on people? Can't more businesses open quicker, sooner? We had to stop, you know, we had to do the best we could to stop that community transmission, which is what we've largely achieved. I mean, for New Zealand, we know that most of the incidents of this virus came through overseas travellers coming back, and most of those were Kiwis. So we had to deal with that. Outside of the rest homes, we've got community transmission down to, you know, a decreasing number, which is good. But the reality is it is there. And what we don't want to do is be lurching around all over the place because, you know, we don't control things properly. So there will still be a lot of rules about physical distancing, about personal hygiene. I think one of the big challenges is that the contact tracing and the technology we may or may not use in relation to that. I think we will need some technology. It's a question about the privacy trade-off there and what New Zealanders are prepared to tolerate. What are they prepared to surrender? Do we need an app that basically surrenders most of the data about where you are and who you are and what you're doing? Or can we have something that is much more limited? Doesn't give away location. It simply records who else you might be in contact with.
Dr. Susie Wiles similarly wrote in her response to this group that the only reason there haven't been thousands of deaths is because we went into lockdown, and that sticking to lockdown, like you say, remains crucial for preventing thousands of deaths. Are you worried that not enough New Zealanders understand the second part of her message and will begin to start ignoring Rahui?
You know, people have been amazing, and this, you know, we're now into the fourth week of this four-week lockdown. I think people have been pretty amazing. We are absolutely focused on the public health objective, but we've got to accept the reality of humanity, which is that people do want to feel as if they can do a little bit more than they were doing before, and it's not compromising those public health objectives. So we're constantly weighing all those things up, but she is absolutely right. There's no point in having gone through this four-week period if we just kind of throw it all away. We don't want to compromise what we've achieved.
Moving to our next topic, this week's tertiary package announcement by your government was met with widespread criticism from students. Do you acknowledge that there is a flaw in the fact that students are the only group whose financial assistance is being allowed to accumulate more debt?
Yeah, although some of the initiatives we've put in place for business is about actually getting them access to more credit through the banking system and concessionary loans, those sorts of things. So, look, I get the point that they're making. I might also add, too, we were under pressure to provide rent subsidies for commercial leases and, you know, commercial tenants. We decided not to do that because we thought arrangements between commercial landlords and commercial tenants, they've got to be mature enough to take hits where it's needed to be taken, and the state shouldn't have to subsidise that. I think it is, look, I understand what students and student leaders have been saying, that they wanted more. This has been a hugely disruptive for them. And for a lot of students who had part-time or casual work, they've lost that work. So they've lost that form of income. So their economic situation has got a lot more difficult. But we've put together a program that I think gets us through the short term. Whether or not Chris Hipkins as Minister of Education has more up his sleeve, I'm not quite sure. We know that the institutions, the universities, polytechs, and some private training establishments, they are feeling the pinch as well, and it may well be that we have to, you know, come up with some assistance there further down the track. But like a lot of these things, we've made decisions about support now, knowing that this is not the end of it. This is not the only thing we're going to be confronted with in terms of supporting various parts of the community.
It's interesting to hear you indicate towards longer-term policy response. Some students did wonder if this pandemic might be the catalyst for wiping student debt. Is that something that your government would ever consider?
Oh, there's a huge debt on the government balance sheet at the moment. To wipe that in one fell swoop, I think, would be an extraordinary act. I mean, having said that, you know, we've approved up to $52 billion to cover the cost of the pandemic longer term, which are huge dollars. But at this stage, it's not in the government's thinking to wipe that debt. There'll be some who will, you know, once they graduate, will be able to go into work, will be able to repay those loans. The new regime we've got, where the first year is fees free, is reducing the debt that, you know, many students will end their tertiary education on. So, you know, we'll continue to look at the student package periodically, but at this stage we're not looking at wiping debt.
The significant rise in the cost of our rent since our country's housing crisis is the main hardship students face, according to NZUSA. It's a key part of why our student loans are so big, and it's difficult to ignore the disadvantage of graduating into a recession with greater debt than ever before. Do you not believe that this warrants greater policy response?
Look, I think possibly further down the track, I know that we grapple with, when we were in opposition, we were grappling with what we do with the fact that, you know, the economic situation for students has got so much tougher, not the least because of rising cost of rents, because of the shortage of housing, and the kind of exploitative approach, frankly, that some residential landlords take when it comes to students as tenants. We are constantly reviewing what is in place for students at this time, and to try and ease the economic pressure on them. At the moment, all effort is going into the COVID-19 response. We've got the budget coming up, but longer term policy stuff will come further down the track. And I know that, you know, Chris Hipkins is acutely aware of ensuring that tertiary education in whatever form is viable for as many New Zealanders as possible, because we need that skill formation, we need that intellectual development and growth, because that's where the future is going to lie for us. So it's always a juggling act about where that next dollar goes.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire.
That was
a 95 BFM podcast. Support 95 BFM with a B card. Go to 95bfm.com/signup.